for the podcast.
If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are. Got a dirty car? Clean it up at the Brownsville Car Wash. Just 5 miles off of I-5. Exit 216. If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are.
Hey, what's up?
What's going on, everybody?
It's Monday at the TagCast.
And a Groundhog's Day of March.
665 is the episode. We got Flames on the show.
Yeah, and we talk about the Raspberry Awards.
Oh, do we ever. And we got Will Woodruff in a phone interview clear from Pennsylvania.
That is awesome.
And we talk about Chupacabra for a minute.
Ah!
Thanks for listening on a Monday.
Ah! Right on. Hey, hello, and welcome to episode 665.
Dude, calm down.
The number before the number.
The beast.
That is the beast, or your number.
You started to harsh my mellow a little bit.
Because it is a human number.
It's Mellow Monday today, you guys.
It is.
You know what I did? I woke up this morning. Actually, I think it was this afternoon, so fuck that.
Yep, he stole that lyric from Paul McCartney.
And 50,000 other people. I woke up this morning.
Yep. Yeah.
So yeah, Mellow Monday today, listening to a brand new song from Beck. His new album is called Morning Something. Can't remember yet. This song is the title track. It's called Morning Phase.
Morning Jacket, that's what it's called.
No, that's a band, My Morning Jacket. Morning Phase, so it's kind of like Sea Change in Morning Phase.
Do you have a morning jacket?
Now, how would you think this would be spelled, Morning Phase?
Not with a Z.
Pink Floyd.
That's true. It's spelled MORPINKFLOYDENING. No, just kidding. It's... you'd think you're going through a morning phase, it would be with a U.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no U in morning. There's an I in it, though. There's no I in team.
It depends on what kind of morning it is.
But there is a U in cunt.
Yeah.
If you're mourning over somebody, there's a U in it.
Yeah, but that would be what I would think would be a mourning phase. Because you're going through your mourning phase, like after you lose a loved one.
Oh, yeah.
But this
yeah.
is like the AM phase.
Mm-hmm.
He woke up this morning.
Yeah, which is similar to having a morning jacket, because I've never had a morning jacket.
Or if you're getting ready to build a fire when you first woke up, you have morning wood.
Mm-hmm.
Or if your wood was sad, what if your penis was sad and droopy?
That would be morning, too. Morning wood.
I guess if it was droopy, it wouldn't be wood. Yeah. Would it?
Also wood?
As much as this was supposed to be Groundhog's Day, and nobody knows why I'm saying that, but it doesn't feel like. It feels like a whole new day. Doesn't it, you guys?
It does. Did we mention Flames in the studio?
No, but I heard his voice. We got a guest in the studio today, which is odd for a Monday. Sometimes we don't have a Monday guest. And we're going to double team you. Flames? No, I meant we're going to double team you with guests because later on we're going to be joined via phone from comedian Will Woodruff, who is clear out in Pennsylvania town. He's just about 10 miles from the Hershey Highway. You drive 10 miles and he is in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
He's in the middle of it all, huh?
Yeah, he's not by the cool places like Pittsburgh, or which is second coolest in my book. You know, the big one. Philly. He ain't in Philly.
Philadelphia.
He's out in Grantville.
Yeah.
Grantville, PA.
Is that like Granite Pass?
Dude, I looked that up. There is a place called Granite Pass.
What?
Yep. Granite Pass, Oregon.
How many people live there?
Less than 203. I think it's like a ghost town now. Literally. Like, not that a lot of people live there, but it's like...
Yeah, I've been working on my interview questions.
That was good, dude.
Have you ever saw a band?
I saw a band of gypsies.
All right. Did you ever own a bandsaw?
I cut my finger on a bandsaw that I did not own.
Have you ever seen a sea monkey use a bandsaw?
No. And you know, I forgot to ask Will if he'd ever owned a horse.
No.
Damn it. I'm calling him right now. Just kidding.
Yeah, yeah. I was gonna suggest that question about the seahorse.
Well, thanks. I'm going to try to do a series of phone interviews just to make our life easier here at the Terry Gatch Comedy Show, where we can just, like, insert a 15 to 45-minute phone conversation, and we have to do less work talking. Or you get a longer episode, which is probably what will happen, because we just like to talk. Unlike Flames, he's a silent partner sometimes. He'll just sit there and say, meow. Here's a question. Do you think that was him or me that said that?
Meow. 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 Are you looking for a real estate opportunity?
That was him. That's unmistakable. Meow. We'll do that throughout the show. And if you can call the false meows, then you'll win a free subscription to the show via iTunes.
You should.
Wait, it's already free.
You should subscribe to that one guy who did that weird funny Vine video this week. Did you hear about that?
Oh, that was 6 seconds, huh? Yeah. I don't watch Vine because I
don't either.
It's the opposite of a short. I have a long attention span.
And you'd rather watch a 3.5 hour movie?
No, but I'd rather watch a 6 minute video than a 6 second video. In today's day and age, the 6 minute time span is a large attention span.
Well, what's the craziest thing you've done for Twitter followers?
I've done nothing for them except for give them witty tweets.
No, but I mean, to gain, you've done stuff to try to get followers, though, right?
Oh, yeah, I've shared my page.
That's not crazy, though.
I've FF'd other people who FF me, and then they FF me.
Uh-huh.
That's the only thing I've done.
Fast-forward you?
No, they fucking fuck me.
Oh.
No, they Friday... Or friend forward five. I don't even know what the fuck it stands for. It stands for, hey, check out these people, and if you like them, like me. Or wait, if you like me, you like them.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know.
Now, some 18-year-old
tweet
tried to gain more Twitter followers, so he put up a Vine video of himself fucking a Hot Pocket.
Dude, was it a Hot Pocket?
Probably warm.
He said he put it in the fridge for a while.
What are you gonna fuck?
Hot Pocket?
Well, I heard a guy is trying to sue some major chain, probably Domino's, because he fucked a pizza and burned his dick.
What?
That's a true story as well.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Google it. Because I don't got it. I just heard it.
And
it
what, didn't. The cheesy crust?
No, he tried fucking a pepperoni with his sausage.
You can't fuck a pepperoni with a sausage.
Apparently you can't without burning your dick. Now he has a burn on his penis. Oh, in case you guys didn't know, Gilda Radner is dead.
What? Is Jim Lang.
Oh, John. That's right. Jim Lang from...
James John Lang is what his name
James
was.
James Joseph Jingleheimer Lang. Mm-hmm. He died the other day, maybe yesterday. Or the day before. And he was the host of The Dating Game, which taught us all to be promiscuous as children.
And 100,000 Name That Tune.
I mean, where as a kid can you watch a show where a dude has just three chicks, he can just ask them questions, and then pick one, and then fuck them. And you get like a trip somewhere. You get 2 nights stay at the fucking fuck me fuck motel.
Remember on Wheel of Fortune when they used to have to spend their money on those prizes on that carousel of prizes and rotate.
They don't do that
anymore. Everybody would get that damn Dalmatian.
But the prices were
remember the ceramic Dalmatian that would always be there?
All right, you got
the Wheel of Fortune? Yeah. When you used to have to buy your...
Yeah. You got $12,500 here. Mm-hmm. I'm bald Pat Sajak. And you... No, that was probably when Chuck Woolery was the host, right?
No, that was Pat Sajak.
Well, Chuck Woolery was before
Chuck Woolery,
Pat Sajak.
Yeah.
What?
Well, probably
you don't
did
remember Chuck
too.
Woolery? He's the one that started that shit.
Really?
Yeah, before the Love Connection and before... Lingo and all those game show networks.
He did Wheel of Fortune.
Yep. You like Lingo?
I don't mind Lingo.
It's kind of like a upwards kind of game or something like that.
It's such a weird show to me, though, because that one chick is over in the corner and she's just typing.
Yeah.
Then it has the Chuck Woolery signature sounds.
Yeah, we'll be back in 2 and 2.
Yeah.
Do you think he actually wrote that or a writer wrote that for him?
It's the two and two. I don't know.
That means 2 minutes and 2 seconds?
Yeah.
Because what? There's a second in between each commercial and the commercials are four 30-second commercials?
Yeah, I think it was just the typical span time. That.
Yeah, but now it's like, be back in 4 and 45.
Yeah.
Fuck, they got a lot of commercials these days, especially like late night MTV. God, there's like fucking 7 minutes of commercials, barely any shit.
Now, man, that sucks because I remember when MTV had no commercials.
Yeah, and I was just watching some stupid show called Pranked because it was the only thing that was on and I was doing something else. But I kept looking up and going, why am I watching fucking 7 minutes of commercials?
Why everybody gotta try capture on the Impractical Jokers prank shows now?
Why's everybody gotta get a fucking? It's just Jackass rehashed. It's called Jackhash.
No, but you got Impractical Jokers kind of
different.
Hashtag
Jackhash.
And then you got, but now there's that one, and then you got fucking Don't Mess with Andrew Maine, which is a prank show, and then you got Zelbedin, which is a prank show.
And fucking, you got
Punk'd, a prank show.
X'd. But okay, so X'd. You just got X'd. Jamie Kennedy.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, he hosted Gotham Comedy Live last week, and it was fucking horrible. He's not funny.
That's his shtick, is to be horrible on purpose,
what?
Isn't it? I think it is.
I think thought his stand-up was supposed to be funny, though.
No, I think he tries to get people to hate him. That's his shtick.
God, it's not hard. So it's like his penis. God. So you said you saw Jackass movie Bad Grandpa?
No.
You didn't?
No.
I did.
You're talking to flames.
Now, did you think it was good?
I loved it.
Okay.
It's a must-see.
Okay. I, on the other hand, thought that it was okay, but not as good as some people. And some people I talked to thought it was horrible. And it made the top 25 best movies of 2013.
Hmm.
I think it was number 25. But
I'd watch it, but I'm in no hurry.
Seth Milstein is the one who hated it the most that I know, and he said... Oh, were there only 24 other movies released last year? That was a joke, but it's funny because you can tell that it's actual unknown. They're pranking people in public places that don't
sure.
know. But it's all tied into a storyline, and then there's some acting and some other setup stuff. But
Borat did it, right?
Yeah, L.E.G.
Yep,
that's my daughter.
And the Z. Dude, speaking of which, they did the Golden Raspberry Awards. 34th annually, I got the winners.
I bet. Oh, for 2013?
For the ones that they just did this year.
But it would have been for last year, correct?
Well, movie, I don't know what their...
Come on!
I don't know what their year consists of.
You almost
you know,
said
because
fiscal.
It could, there could have been, you know, who knows? They might go back 4 years for some weird reason. These award shows, you know? That's
there's enough
weird.
Bad shows they could do it every fucking six months.
Yeah. All right. I'll name the nominees and you guess who won. All right. We'll start with worst actor. Ashton Kutcher as Steve Jobs. Remember that one?
I didn't get to see it though, so I can't.
Yeah. Adam Sandler in Grown Ups 2. So still Sylvester Stallone in all three of the movies that he did in the year. Johnny Depp.
The Extendables.
Johnny Depp or Jaden Smith?
Jeez, it's going to be
Johnny Depp.
Only one person won out of all those?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to say either Jaden Smith or Adam Sandler.
That is correct. Jaden Smith.
Dude, did you see fucking After Earth?
No.
Don't, dude.
And that I was surprised to learn it's an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Dude, it's horrible.
It's a what?
M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Oh.
You know, M. Night Shyamalan?
Yeah, you know the guy who did one good movie.
Train.
That was all right. And then...
Signs. Icy
well,
Dead
Signs
People.
Signs wasn't bad.
Dead Sixth Sense. Mm.
Meat Train.
What the fuck?
That's not M. Night
Shyamalan. That was it?
No.
I don't think so. He's always had
no, that was a Clive Barker thing.
Oh.
M. Night Shyamalan.
Yep, so Jaden Smith wins Worst Actor for...
Yes, I called it, and I even said his name first.
All right, so. Worst Actress, we'll go with Halle Berry. She was in that one movie. Selena Gomez, who was in that one movie.
Okay.
God, I'm raspberry
movie 43.
Out. I love that
that. And Lindsay Lohan.
In movie 43 too?
No, in that other movie.
Because she was in more movie 43
too. That she did with Charlie Sheen or whatever.
Ah.
Naomi Watts.
In what?
Movie 43.
Man, that must have got the
best. Or Tyler Perry.
God, I can't. They all raspberry me out, but I've never seen a Tyler Perry movie. But I don't think that it was probably his action movie where he had a goatee.
And no, it was a Medea Christmas.
Oh, okay.
You remember the number one Christmas movie of the year and the only one?
What? Okay, I was going to say Tyler Perry, but I'm going to go with...
Wrong, it was Tyler Perry.
Oh, so I should have stuck, stuck with my fucking gut, damn it.
Yep.
Okay, good.
All right, and here we go.
Breaking news, Tyler Perry got a raspberry. On his foot.
We'll go with worst supporting actor. You got Chris Brown in that one movie he was in.
He was in a movie?
Larry the Cable Guy in a Medea Christmas.
God.
Taylor Lautner from movie 43, maybe. I don't know. No, Grown Ups 2.
Dude.
And Nick Swartzen from Grown Ups 2. Or Will Smith from M. Night Shyamalan.
M. Night Shyamalan.
I want to go with, what was the second one?
Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with
wrong. Will Smith is the right answer.
Well, good. That's not discriminating.
For M. Night Shyamalan.
I bet. M. Night Shyamalan.
Where was supporting actress?
I'm two for three.
You got Katherine Hagel was in that one movie. Lady Gaga in her movie. Lindsay Lohan. Salman Hayek.
Selma Hayek.
Or Kim Kardashian.
Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, that's what I said.
That is correct.
All right.
She was in a movie. I don't know what it was called.
Sucked.
Here's the Golden Raspberry Award for Worst Combo. You got Lindsay Lohan, Charlie Sheen.
That's a good one.
Tyler Perry and Larry the Cable Guy.
Oh, God.
Or the worn-out wig, dress, and Madea combo.
The second one.
Or the entire Grown Ups 2 cast.
You guessed too soon, Flamey.
Or the entire cast of movie 43. Or Jaden and Will Smith.
Jaden and Will Smith.
You are correct.
All right.
What?
Yeah, those guys are horrible. You got to watch that. Well, you shouldn't, but you just watch like 15 minutes of it.
And rounding out the five nominees for the worst picture of the year. After Earth.
Movie 43.
Movie 43.
Tyler Perry's Medea Christmas.
Yep.
What is movie 43?
It's fucking funny.
Grown Ups 2 or The Lone Ranger.
Ooh. Now he's being shunned through the whole thing here.
But no, he was up for worst actor.
Well, I know, but he didn't win. I'm going to go ahead and say that movie 43 got the Raz.
Yep.
All right.
That's wow.
I got fucking 5 out of 6.
In related news, Nonstop toppled over the Lego movie this weekend.
With his penis.
He did!
Liam Neeson has a huge cock, in case you didn't know.
Dude,
that.
Dude, it's like an Avian bottle when he opens his pants. That's what Janice Dickinson said.
And she would know, and it would fit in her.
And he's always talking about horses. He was on The Daily Show recently promoting his movie
Was
Nonstop.
He holding his horses?
No, he's all talking about cruelty to
He's all, look at the size
carriages.
Of my feet.
Yeah.
He talks so weird, I can't even do what accent he has.
It's weird. Is it all he did Irish? In every interview, though, is talk about how he's been doing these action movies. He's 61, though, doing those movies.
Liam Neeson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet his back hurts from carrying that cock around all the time. Well, I did pretty good in the raspberry guess, but I would like you guys to both watch movie 43 if you haven't yet. Any listeners out there, a raspberry usually means the critics don't like it, so it's probably good.
I don't think it's a critics movie, though.
It's not. It's a raunchy blue comedy. I call it a blue comedy, which is kind of what we had at Denny's the other night. We had a blue comedy show. Do you know what that is?
No.
That is defined as more raunchy and sex-oriented. You talk about fucking bitches and jacking off and use the C word.
Man.
Christian. People don't like to hear that very much. But yeah, we had a great turnout. It was a small crowd, but they all loved it. We had What the Fuck Chuck in the house from Ontario. I said, Ontario, Oregon? He's like, no, Ontario, California. I thought you were going to say Canada. There's an Ontario, California. And then when I said something about Albany being more fun than Ontario, he's like, I'm from Whittier. I was like, dude, you just said you were from Ontario. He's like, yeah, but I grew up in Whittier. He got a tramp stamp. There was a joke told about a tramp stamp, and he got up and showed his, which was an actual, it looked like a stamp from like a stamper with a square around it, and it just said tramp. And it's pretty sexy, actually. He full body hugged me after the show to show his appreciation for my comedic talents. He wouldn't let me finish my story about the abortion sucking my leg off because he thought that there was some other, just like my joke says, drunk people don't believe the true story or the false story. Nah, dude, there's got to be some fucking stupid ass story about that leg. I was like, no, dude, it's really not stupid. It's boring. You want to hear it? So I told the story about my mom getting off birth control and then not getting pregnant and then getting pregnant and then coming out with a one-legged baby, and everybody's just like deathly silent. Heavy, isn't it? It's true, though, but it's boring. So I don't fucking tell that story. See how quiet it got? This is a comedy show. But yeah, it was a good show. Joe Parra hosted. He was the only black man in the audience and only black man on the stage. And the first joke he made was about being afraid of black people, which is still borderline to me when if black people do racist stuff about black people. We were talking on the way over to get some pizza now about white people being racist against other white people, and if that's possible, because that was on The League, where they went into a sushi restaurant, and there was a white Japanese sushi chef, and they wanted to change tables.
A white Japanese sushi chef?
Yeah, that's hard to say, huh? Yeah, and they were like, it's kind of hot right here, or cold, could we get a different table? No, it's not cold. No more tables. You stay here. And then he's all talking Japanese to his coworker, and... Then he's talking to them. Oh, yeah, I studied in Japan for 18 years under a sensei, and he taught me everything about sushi chef stuff. And Wesley-san. They're like, oh, you want to move tables because I'm white, so you're racist. They're like, we're not racist against white people. We're white. But it's possible you can be racist against your own race.
You can hate yourself.
I've seen it happen.
There's a lot of news going on with Spike Lee because he's all talking about gentrification these days. But I won't get into that.
We'll get into that later. After we
talk
to
you. Anyone can be a voting Razzie member. It's not like award handed out by critics. Anybody can. It only costs $40 to vote.
Whoa. I bet they make a killing.
Only 40?
Yeah.
Jeez, what a steal.
I could get a fat sack of weed for 40 bucks.
You know who...
I do. It's amazing.
You know who also beat out the Lego movie this week?
The Lego movie got beat out?
Other than Liam Neeson.
I don't know what's in the movie theaters right
Jesus
now.
Christ.
Superstar. Oh, is it the Bible?
Son of God movie.
Because you know that series they had on the History Channel called The Bible?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I heard that they were getting... It was
they have like 30 of them, don't they?
Well, the new one was supposed to be getting picked up for a movie.
Oh. I don't know, Son of God...
Son of God.
That's what it's called.
Maybe that's how Jesus is going to come back. In the Jesus. Form of a movie. Everybody that goes to the movie gets to go to heaven. If you don't go to the movie, you're burning in hell.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk more about that on Wednesday's show, episode 666, where we're going to just talk about Satanism and my childhood, which included some of that, and worshiping the devil, listening to the Eagles, Hotel California. That's satanic. We'll get into all that.
Okay.
I'll tell you why on Wednesday. If you don't know, you might not know why masturbating is gay either. I'll tell you about that on Wednesday.
You know who Steve Brule is?
No. Flames on a 6-second delay over there. I forgot his headphones. He got the delay headphones in case we cuss because he doesn't like to hear bad words like Christian.
Steve Brule has a show on Thursday nights on
television.
Adult Swim.
Okay.
11:30.
Man, what's the show called?
Those other
the Steve Brule show?
Yep.
serve them the brewer.
Nope. His catchphrase is for your health. Huh. But it's John C. Reilly.
Oh, I love that.
It's a comedy
thing. Is that like a little half hour talk show or something?
I don't know. I haven't seen it. But yeah. I think it's in its third season. I don't know what a season exists on Adult Swim, because some shows are only 15 minutes, you know, so I don't know anything else about it.
Yeah, like when Metalocalypse started, it was like 11-minute episodes.
Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, have you been Seth Meyering it up?
I have not. I caught just a tiny bit.
I watched a couple episodes.
I saw his set, and it looked fresh and different.
He's got some good guests on there, like Kanye West.
Do you say you don't get TBS?
I don't get TBS.
Wow. Well, maybe if you see it on Hulu or anything when you're browsing around, check out the Pete Holmes show.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good stuff. It's on after Conan.
All right.
I like it. He does a little skit at the beginning, and he does
a
monologue.
My favorite currently is still...
Fallon or Kimmel?
Ferguson.
Ooh, dude, I watched till you got a stand-up special that's like an hour or something that's on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving him a chance. He's pretty funny. He's funny when they let him cuss, I think. He's funnier when he fucking cusses.
Mm-hmm.
His accent is so strong, though, sometimes you can't. And he tries to do other accents. Like, he tried to do... It's funny to hear someone with a super strong accent try to do another accent, but not be very good at it. I mean, his jokes were hilarious, though. I think he's funny.
Yeah.
What do you think of Craig Ferguson?
Late
night talk show host, Ireland, I think he's...
I barely watch them.
Yeah, see? I think that's why Gatch likes him, because there's more to like.
I was a Carson fan.
Yeah, well, he's been dead
for a
while.
Well, yeah, but he doesn't do a show anymore.
I know.
You're going to have to move on, because that's been like 25 years.
Yeah.
Wait, 20, 22. Did he die in 92? 92, somewhere around there. Check 92. Check 92. Oh, I only mentioned it for a second, but don't forget about pizza now, because if you're looking for pizza now,
bling,
they're ready when you are.
Dude, they did a bunch of deliveries to the Olympics when it was going on, but they don't deliver out of town anymore.
In case you don't know, March is Pie Month.
Yep, 314.
314, so all month.
All month they have specials there.
Yep, I don't have them in front of me, but call them. 501-928-0900. Nah, that's wrong. 0900. That's a fucking a pet peeve of my own to say O for a number. O is not a number. O is a letter. 541-928-0900. Visit their website at pizza-now.com. Follow them on Twitter at pizzanow1. We talked a lot about Twitter when we weren't recording.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook.com/pizzanowalbany. Check them out. They're ready when you are. 1705 Southeast Hill Street in Albany, Oregon.
What?
Yeah, specials
what?
All month.
Dude, no, I'm looking at one of these. All right, so this is... You're looking at 314 Pie Day. You go there and, you know, they'll slap a little coupons on the top of your box when you get a pizza box there, right? You
right.
Know? You check out this special. For $5, you get a 24-ounce drink and an individual 8-inch one-topping deep dish pizza.
That's a new thing.
What?
Wow.
Since when?
Since fucking Pie Month.
Dude, I didn't even know that. They now have deep dish individual 8-inch pizzas, man.
For how much?
That and a drink for only $5. That is awesome.
Damn.
You need the coupon.
Yeah, but you just got...
But you go down there, and you go down, and you can order one, and then the next time you get one for $5.
And
or you can get two free... Or you could get two specialty pizzas, and you get a free order of the Cinnabread. I tell you what, the Cinnabread is awesome. It's addicting.
When we
you
had
have
a
it once,
we had
have
Death
it every
Metal
day for the rest of your life.
We had Death Metal Dave on the show last week, and he bought and sprung for some Cinnabread. And I tell you what, it's creamy, cinnamony, doughy,
it's awesome.
And good. But you make sure and like them on Facebook at Pizza Now Albany, because just yesterday, which is actually today for me, on Sunday, I saw. Any order of a regular specialty pizza, free pizza bites all day today if you mention their Facebook post. So if you don't follow them on Facebook, then you miss out on those little perks is what we call them. We call them perks.
Would you buy a pizza in the shape of the symbol of pie?
I would, but that you'd be missing out on a lot in the box. You'd have to put a big one.
It'd just be like a bunch of pepperoni sticks.
Yeah, just shaped into a, mm-hmm. a pizza pie. And it would literally be a pizza pie.
Mm-hmm.
That's fucking good.
A pizza pie.
That's amore.
Hey, did you happen to check out the season premiere of Portlandia, new season?
No.
You don't get IFC?
I don't watch that show.
You don't like it, or you just don't watch it?
I don't get that channel either.
You don't get it.
I don't get
it. I don't get that channel either.
I don't get that channel either.
I don't get gay porn on my TV.
Yeah?
I kind of miss Andy Bradwin. He moved out to Boston. He was a comedian from around here, and he had a good joke about that. I hope he's still telling it out there.
Was it a good premiere?
What? I liked it. Yeah, it was pretty funny. I guess I've kind of grown to love it over the last couple seasons, and so I was kind of waiting for it. Right now, as I scan my brain with my little brain scanner, I really can't even remember what happened. But it was funny. They make fun of people in
Portland.
I'll
tell you a show that you won't care what goes on. And Revolution, man, that show is off the wagon.
Is that an oldies?
No.
Revolution.
Only in the second season.
Oh, that's the one with the powers out?
The power is out for like 15 years.
I watched 5 episodes of that.
5 episodes is probably pretty good.
Yeah, I think I'm at the last episode of season 2 of 4400, though, because the last episode said to be continued. And they're all to continued because it's a fucking series, but that was weird. I was like, to be continued? What the fuck?
So you're at the end of season 2?
Yeah, everybody's getting sick. The dude lost his power. Fucking shit's going down. He went and met the guy and helped them paint over murderer on their door because mm-hmm. that one kid actually shot the dude, but they arrested someone else. So spoilers left and right and center, but that show was done 6 years ago. So if you're listening and haven't watched it, turn this off and go watch it.
Yeah, it's a good show. Did you know there's 107 movies out already?
What?
Yep.
This year.
That mm-hmm. have been released in theaters?
Yeah.
Or just straight to video, everything like that?
A film must be played at least 1 week regular admission engagement in one or more theaters in either L.A. or Los Angeles to get on this list. Hmm. That's well, how you qualify for the Academy Award or Golden Raspberries.
Wow.
Huh.
Such movies as Atsinki, the story of Arctic Cowboys.
Arctic Cowboys, the San Francisco treat. Did you know that Arctic Cowboys is the San Francisco treat? That was a good Ed McMahon, Paul Schaefer laugh. He just now qualified as my sidekick. Gatch is my Fred Armisen. Oh, if anybody doesn't know that's listening, pat myself on the back. I quit smoking cigarettes 7 days ago. Woo!
Nice, dude.
I'm smoking a vapor pen. And oh, what the fuck? Chuck said I was talking about smoking weed as a small child and different things during my set, and he's like, "That's why you're fucking smoking a Duracell now." I was like, "What?" He's like, "You're smoking a Duracell." I was like, "All right." He's like, "That's what it tastes like smoking a battery." I was like, mine doesn't. Mine tastes like fucking honey cherry vagina. It's lovely. Mm, it leaves a good little taste in my mouth. And I like to do this, too. I'll take a big drag, and then I'll inhale that into my lungs, and then I'll take another big drag, and as I'm taking my second drag into my mouth, I'll blow the smoke out my nose. I look like a fire-breathing dragon, and it just fills my whole head with cherry honey vagina goodness.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going to do right now. I smoked this so much last night, I think I got a head rush from the nicotine. Do you get a head rush from nicotine, or is it from smoking tobacco? When you smoke cigarettes, you know, because smoke inhalation is going to fuck your brain up. Like if you're in a burning building, right? Hey, what happened to your microphone?
What'd you do to it?
I was like, I thought you weren't talking.
There it is.
Yeah, he's back.
It came back.
But yeah, do you think that you get more of a, you know, like if you haven't smoked a cigarette for a few days and you smoke one down real quick and you kind of get lightheaded, little head buzz, is that because of the tobacco or the nicotine?
It's probably comes from the air deficiency.
I think it's a mix of all of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're not good.
No.
I'm going to go off the nicotine. and just smoke weird flavored smoke. I'm actually, I want to get a wax burner so I don't have to carry weed pipe lighter around.
Smoke a candle?
Yeah, dude. That's what happened when I was in a college. I used to just smoke candles, man.
Really?
We'd pour wax all over the table and then light it on fire.
Smoke it.
Smoke it.
That would be cool.
We had like a big tarp hood, and then we had a funnel with a long fucking thing on it. We just smoke hash, candle wax hash. That's what we called it, candle wax hash.
Nice.
I know that the three of us have talked about this before, but do you guys believe in the chupacabra?
That yeah.
Yeah, I've seen video of them.
Yeah. Well, now the proof is in the pudding.
I ate the pudding.
You ate the pudding.
Did you eat your meat first?
Yep.
Because if you don't eat your meat...
How can you have that pudding if you don't eat your meat?
Blondstana! Okay, a Texas couple said their grandson shot a creature on their property that appears to be the legendary...
Chupacabra.
Thank you. Doug and Lucy Ort said that they were with... That's with an H in there, too, somewhere. Said that they were with their family Sunday on their ranch in Victoria County when they came across an unfamiliar animal. My grandson ran and got his gun, and he... I don't know if this is a I was really wasted reference, but he shot it at 420 yards. And
wow.
My grandkid said, oh, that's a chupacabra. It's a legendary creature for those listeners who don't know whose name translates to goat sucker. Did you guys know that?
Goat sucker.
Yeah.
Well, you guys eat
goats. I wondered why my dad used to always call me chupacabra as a kid. He caught me out in the goat pen one time. And anyway, its long legs and big teeth resemble a coyote. But it does not look like any of the coyotes.
It's a fast mofo in a mofo.
It's got long hair, and this one doesn't. That's what's weird.
What?
Yeah, that must mean it's just a regular coyote.
It looks like it's got mange. And
they could probably DNA test it, though.
A wildlife biologist named Josh Turner said he is not convinced that the beast was a chupacabra. They are a mythical creature, he said. People see what it really is, a sarcoptic mange, it's caused by a mite that bites the animal. Dogs, cats, coyotes, foxes, and humans can get another version of it as well. So watch out for sarcoptic mange. You don't
That's
pick a
new band name right there for
sarcoptic mange. Rotting flesh at a theater near you.
Yeah.
This time it's for real. I wish I was a movie trailer announcer. There's a show on IFC now called Nothing But Trailers, and it's a half hour of
Nothing But Trailers.
How did you know? You said you don't get that channel.
I don't.
All I told you was the name, and somehow you figured out what the whole show was about. Do you think that that's a clever ad campaign to just like that show called John Dies at the End or whatever?
There's that one I haven't watched, mostly because it was called that.
There's a spoiler.
And but I don't know. You got the plane, the comedians in cars getting coffee, which I watched a few times.
That basically tells you what
it's just kind of two shows in one. He's hitting two demographics because he has a comedian on there. And he also picks them up in a car.
And takes them out to get some coffee.
Yeah, but it's a different car each time.
Probably one of like his 40 different Porsches.
Or a loner. Or one. Dave Letterman was on there, which was kind of weird. It's kind of cool because he takes these big people out.
Well, it's Jerry Seinfeld.
He takes these big people out that, you know, probably have to say yes to him. Or maybe he pays them. Or maybe he pays some of them. Or maybe some of them do it for free. I don't know how they get
I think
there.
They do it for free for the exposure.
But, no, David Letterman doesn't need exposure.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess you're correct.
But, you know, just to see how some of those people, you know, how that like David Letterman, who probably don't get out very much.
Yeah, that car he has is wicked. It's got a puffer on it.
Letterman?
Yeah, he's got a Volvo with a small block Ford with a puffer on it.
A puffer.
Yeah, and a 5-speed. Oh, it's wicked.
They were sitting in the cafe, and he goes, are all these real people? Can we ask them to leave? And Jerry said, we don't own this place, Dave. And Dave smiles and says, yeah, but we could change that, can't we? And did this little Dave Letterman laugh.
That one?
Yep. Yeah. He looked, yeah, he, that was a good one. He did, Jay Leno was on there. And Louis C.K. was on there, and he drove this weird little orange beach car. It was totally orange.
A beach car?
Yeah, it had no doors and Fiat. Could go 65.
Fiat 600.
Yeah, a Jolly is what it was called. Fiat Jolly.
Jalopy?
Jolly. Oh. It was weird looking, but it looked like Louis C.K. too, though. Because it had no doors.
And it was orange.
And it had fringe on the top.
Yeah, it was like a bald guy's head.
Yeah.
Looked like a circus car.
A bald
He had
ginger.
Michael Richards on there. He picked him up in a rusty Volkswagen. It's like, this wagon. Car reminds me of you, Michael Richards.
Volkswagen pickup.
That's cool. Oh no, what's in Hans's CD player today? You guys got any guesses? It's
yep.
Monday, so I've never heard of this band. And I've never heard of it.
Medea Hoedown CD.
The title of the album is in French. Maybe French Canadian.
French Canadian. That's like on the outskirts of Canada, right?
He says, French, yo, Canadian. Yo, yo, tag text time. He's listening today to Die Form.
Die Form.
Not like deformed, but that's two separate words, like die. Form.
Shape of.
Those are like commands.
In the form of water. Wonder Twins, activate. The album is called L'Ami Electrique, which looks like lame electric if you take the apostrophe out.
L'Ami. These guys are way old school, though, dude. Those guys
form.
Are. Die form.
Die!
Speaking of the Wonder Four Twins, there. Did you see that one where the one turned into an elephant and the other one turned into a massive tampon?
No. In the form of a massive tampon. We'll talk about that in a second. Who is this Die Form tampon band?
They're from France, dude, and they're
I was right.
L'Ami Electrique. Cold Wave.
Cold Wave?
That's a genre.
Hans, why do you listen to genres that don't exist?
It's early Cold Wave, post-industrial, or neoclassical Dark Wave.
Oh, I love...
1977 to now, they've been playing Philip Fitchott and Elian P.
I love that neoclassical dark... whatever you said. Dark Wave.
Oh, wait. It means... Die Form means the form or the shape in German.
Die Form!
Like the Bauhaus Diary. And is a play on the English homonym of deformed.
Bauhaus.
I like Bauhaus.
Bauhaus. Yep. And so that's what's in Hans's CD player. I was listening to some records again because my vinyl's up and running again, which is awesome. And I busted out the 1983 classic. Too fast for love.
Nice.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because you know Motley Crue's doing their farewell whale tour this year. They're never going to play again, and they're claiming
never
that they're...
Never going to play again?
Nope,
are they going to play
like,
that song?
Never.
That was.
They're not going to be like The Who and all those bands that did a bunch of farewell tours. One
would
time,
that be,
they're out.
That was be, one of the worst shows I'd seen. It was Motley Crue.
Well, they're coming with Alice
the
Cooper.
The last song that you do, though, on the at the end of the show for an encore would be Never Going to Play Together
did.
Again.
Never Going to Play Together Again. I don't know that song, but I did listen to a little bit of Theater of
well,
Pain,
well, you'd have
too.
To write it.
I tried to listen to Theater of Pain, but I just hit-seeked and listened to
I listened to Third Year of Pain when I heard Home Sweet Home come on the radio the other day.
Yeah,
that's... Oh, no, that's not the album they did. They did the one Dr. Feelgood album.
Dun, 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 dun. So, like, Tom Green said that they got this cassette tape from a guy, and they were going to play some Motley Crue, Dr. Feelgood, on a cassette player live on the TV. But when they went to find out how much it would cost, it was going to cost them $10,250 to play 30 seconds of Dr. Feelgood.
What? What?
Oh, yeah. We were talking about Twitter before we got on this episode here, and Tom Green followed me on Twitter and retweeted me, and I'm going to send him a cassette tape. So there's that.
Yeah.
And don't forget, we got a extended episode today because we got a interview coming up with Will Woodruff. He's a comedian from the Oregon area. I've done shows with him. You've probably heard of him. And I'm going to tag a lot of his friends in the post for this, so I think we might as well just go to that right now. And this is a phone conversation that took place between me and Will yesterday from Pennsylvania. So here's me and Will Woodruff.
Hey, Will, what's going on?
All right, here we go. We're going to calling Will Woodruff out in Pennsylvania.
Thank you for calling the brand new...
Hey, Will, what's going on?
...Brantsville, Hershey, PA. We are located 1 mile off exit 80 of Interstate 81, 1 mile from the Hollywood Casino and Penn National Racetrack, 3 miles from Hershey Park and the Giant Center, 3 miles from Fort Indiantown Gap, and just minutes from the capital of Harrisburg.
No offense, but I don't care.
If you know your party's extension, dial 7 and the room number.
7 and the room number. 221.
Hey, Will, what's going on?
I'll transfer you now.
Thank you.
Homosexuals Anonymous.
Hey, Will, what's going on?
I think I have the wrong number. Hey, what's up, Will?
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
Hey, Will, what's going on?
So I was thinking about this. Tell me what you think about this for a new slogan. What has three legs and is awesome?
I don't know.
Right, the tag cast, right? Wouldn't that be...
That's right. Yeah, that's actually... I think Dustin put on there two funny guys on three legs. Is one of our catchphrases. But hey, in case nobody knows, we got Will Woodruff here on the phone, clear from Pennsylvania.
Hey,
what are you doing in Pennsylvania, dude?
I am actually a lot of stuff, but right now I was trying to deal cards, but I didn't get to for this like week, so I've been sitting here on my butt doing nothing.
Uh-oh.
Which is, yeah, pretty awful, because I went to Pennsylvania to do nothing, and that sucks.
Well, you've been out there for at least a month, huh?
Yeah, about a little over a month, yep. No, actually, right around a month now, I think about it.
And so you're...
Yeah, because I did my go-away show on the same night that you had Mike Tyson or whatever at your show.
Yeah, yeah.
How did that happen, by the way?
Dude, I don't know if you got to see the video or not, but it's awesome.
I saw the video.
Yeah, he did a double cross there and just, like, took two people out. I don't know. It was right after the show got over. I just announced there was going to be an open mic after the show, and... I don't think it had anything to do with it. There was just a lot of drunk people there because there was a company party from the Phoenix Inn across the street. And the guy who booked the show said, a company party starts at 6. They should be done by 9:30 when the show starts. But they weren't done. They were just 3.5 hours drunk and ready to fight. And I actually blew a tweeter in my speaker trying to drown out the audience because they were so loud. So, yeah.
Wow.
But last night we vindicated ourselves and had a great little crowd of, you know, it wasn't completely full, but they were there to hear comedy and they laughed and they all had a good time.
Awesome.
And like five or six people came up after the show and said, we didn't know this was happening and we had a wonderful time and we'll be here every last Friday of the month. So I'm hoping it will grow. I'm hoping it'll grow and people will know that that's what's happening, that they're just not going there to get a Hobbit slam.
Albany fan base. And by the way, I realized that I kind of fucked you over and didn't even realize it.
How'd you do that?
Well, we were talking about me doing that show, right?
Yeah.
And then
you said you were busy.
And then I got offered the same night that you offered me.
Yeah.
They offered me a theater in Dallas, and I was like, I'm not going to turn down a theater to do a Denny's, no offense.
Especially when you're going to be gone for a while.
Yeah, and then I was going to be gone, but if the show's still going, I definitely, dude, I've, you know, doing places like a Denny's, that's like a dream to me.
I know, you know, and that's a lot of comics have contacted me and said, comedy at a Denny's, how can I do that?
Yeah, how could I do this?
Exactly. The pay
dude,
base.
What you need to do, Terry, is land that Denny's contract and go nationwide, baby.
That would be awesome. I could, maybe I could copyright the name Grand Slam Comedy Show for once.
Right? That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And, I was going to say, then you can hop from show to show.
Yeah, and we'd make everybody, we could make everybody boycott IHOP too, because they won't let us fucking do comedy at IHOP, I don't think. You never know, though. So I've never heard of the town that I think that you're in, Grand, what is it? Where are you at?
What?
The town that you're in out there.
Oh, Grantville. I'm in Grantville.
Grantville. How far is that from, like, Philly?
Okay. it busts out Google Maps. You know where Hershey, Pennsylvania is?
Yeah, kind of. I mean,
it's about 10 minutes away from Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Okay, cool. I've heard Jim Willig talk a lot about Hershey, Pennsylvania, because he's from out in that area. But I was just wondering how far you were from, like, the big city, like Philly or Pittsburgh or whatever.
Yeah, no, this is in the middle of nowhere. It's a really nice casino in the middle of nowhere. It was where I was supposed to be working. But then I got, basically, long story, what happened is that for some reason they require X amount of gaming experience, and I couldn't prove my gaming experience because I dealt cards in Oregon. I don't know if you know anything about Oregon, but there's no license required. It's kind of a casual gaming thing.
Right.
So they don't pay you hourly either.
Oh.
You kind of work for tips.
Okay.
So I couldn't show them any pay stubs or anything. So long story short, I wound up not being able to deal cards because I only had, like, apparently 3 or 4 months of experience because that's all I've been doing on the road. It's just... Anyway, it was shitty.
So you needed more stubs? Because I got...
Yeah, I needed to be able to prove more gaming experience, which, by the way, Pennsylvania is the only state that requires that. Every other state is like, well, we believe you can do your job because you're employed.
Yeah, yeah.
Job, so...
Well, I was going to say, if you needed one more stub, I got one.
God.
You didn't see that coming, did you? You didn't see that coming, did you? Okay.
You know what? I'll be honest, I did not see that coming.
I didn't think so, because when I asked you about stubs, you just legitimately told me what you needed, and I was like, he's not hearing it yet. This is awesome.
He's not even catching it yet. Yeah. He's not even following.
It's been that long since I've seen you. Okay, well, here's a question for you, and it's kind of hypothetical, but why did you abandon comedy? Just kidding. Have you been able to do any comedy out there when you're in Philadelphia?
I was going to do a gig last night, actually, in D.C., but I just couldn't get a ride, so I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I work for a national comedy booking agency, and he had a gig. Like, I mean, it was 2 miles. It was 2 hours away, but that's still doable.
Yeah, if you had a car.
Right. Well, I was going to get a ride from a friend, actually, but then it's like they may have had to work, and so I was like, I'm not going to risk that and tarnish my name with you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So I'm like, I'll just skip it. But and the reason is because the way that here's my evil plan, Terry. Tell me what you think.
Okay.
I am going to do. I'm going to deal cards right now. I'm going to deal cards for next month. I'm going to get back. I'm going to take a couple weeks off, and then I'm dealing the Pendleton Roundup out in Pendleton.
Oh, cool.
And then I get a little more time off. I was supposed to open for Sean McBride right after that.
Ooh.
Actually in Pendleton doing a triple run, right?
Uh-huh.
And then come back and then get another week off, and then I do the World Series of Poker, right?
Right.
That was the evil plan to begin with. But now it looks like there's another event that I'm going to deal, and I'm going to deal cards up through the World Series. After the World Series, I get 3 or 4 months off. So while I'm at the series, I'm going to book comedy shows until I have my entire fall filled up.
Right.
Even if I have to do, like, door deals or whatever, because I'll come back with enough money that I won't have to worry about how much money I make, but I just want to get more time out on the road, so that's what I'm going to go do.
Excellent.
And so that's my evil plan. That's my diabolical.
It doesn't really sound that evil, but it's an awesome. Sounds like an awesome plan.
Right. Well, it should work. That's the beautiful part. Unless I get myself fired at the series or something.
And so, are you talking like March, April? You'll be done with that, or what?
When I get back, I'll be back by the end of March.
Okay.
And then let's see here. After March, I'll get back, and like I said, I'll take a couple weeks off, and then I'm going to go do Pendleton, and then I go do an audition for the World Series. If I pass my audition, I deal a series, and in between there's Missouri, and Missouri, I might go deal that again. So there's like one event that I'm going to in Missouri, and then a bigger event that I'll be dealing probably as well. So
that's awesome. That's awesome. I don't know if you knew it or not, but my co-host, who's not here right now for this interview, but Gatch, he used to do some dealing. I mean, poker dealing. I don't know if he did any...
I thought you meant drugs. Bro.
Well, he does that too on the side, but kidding. No, and he used to just... I don't know if he ever worked at casinos, but he did some games somewhere, and then I know he used to host games at his house, and he was really into... I think he did do some casino dealing, because you don't have to have... Like you said, Oregon, if you can deal, you can work. You don't have to have, proof that you're a gamer or whatever. And plus, he's kind of Indian, so... I think they might let him in. But anyway, yeah, that's kind of cool that you got. I didn't even know that you did that.
Yeah, it's funny because my best friend, actually, he's like, look, you've been working at Domino's for 9 years. You are 10 years older than your average coworker. You need to stop working at Domino's. And then he goes, look, I'm a card dealer. I've been doing it for a long time. You make decent living. He's all, I'm going to show you how to do this, and then you're going to get on the road and go do it.
Well, that was
like, yes, sir.
Very cool. Very cool. He didn't want you working there anymore, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, he's right, though, man. When you're 10 years older than everybody else.
Yeah.
When you're 5 years older than the owner, it's time to move along.
Yeah, unless they make you into the manager or something. You probably already were
a manager. Well, I mean, yeah, but the thing is, in the particular store that I work at, the owner is the general manager, and so everyone else, and like everyone there is an assistant manager except for like one new person who is just a driver.
Right. Yeah, so that's what happens in small towns like Dallas then, I guess, right?
Right. Yeah, all right. Yeah.
So when you get back, though, would you do a comedy show for a Hobbit Slam?
Oh, hell yeah.
I'm just kidding. They actually gave us a little bit of money, but have you heard of that? They were like sponsoring Lord of the Rings movie about a month ago, and they have a Hobbit Slam that you could get. And then there's an adult store right across the parking lot from Denny's where you could get Hobbit Slam 6. There's new Hobbit porn.
You've been waiting to drop that line.
I know.
I didn't write that before.
I do have some pre-written questions for you, and of course, I got to get a little funny in there. But no, we miss you out here, man. As much as you might be surprised, but we do miss you.
I actually, you know, what's funny is that like that Eugene area and that shit is kind of like my. They love me out there for some reason.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know why. No, just kidding. You're funny. You're right. Funny, and you're a good guy, and you're funny to look at too, a little bit.
I really am very funny to look at.
Yeah. Sometimes I just browse your page for a giggle. I like to see you in your Sonic shirt too. I like that.
Right.
But yeah, only other question I had for you about being out there in Pennsylvania was if you've had the opportunity to use your emergency rape kit yet.
I have not actually, even though there is a parking lot which just does not have a lot of lights and stuff.
Oh, that's perfect. That's perfect.
I actually have not gotten a chance to use it. And I mean, I could use it on like a sheep or whatever. It wouldn't even be an issue. But here's the deal. What the question you should have asked is that, Will, how close are you to Amish country?
Well, and that was actually right below. I'll take a picture of my paper to prove it. Right below emergency rape kit, it says, what about Amish people?
I have not yet seen any legitimate Amish people.
Really?
And it kind of makes me mad.
That's weird.
If you look at the average guy in Portland, that's pretty much what an Amish person looks like anyway.
Yeah.
You
got also Marcus Bridges from the Donkey Show. He looks Amish because he's got that chin strap beard like fucking Abe Lincoln right? That he always wears.
Right.
He does
that
look
Amish. That reminds me, Donkey Show. I want to do a week down in Eugene.
That'd be cool. They're doing Fat Camp tonight, actually, the day that we're doing this interview on Saturday. It's the fourth installment at Wetlands, and they got Don Frost coming down. Mac Chase is doing a set, and Marcus.
Don's headlining a casino.
Fuck yeah, Reno, 5 days at the fucking Catch a Rising Star.
Yeah, by the way, to all the listeners out there in
podcast land. Yeah.
If you get a chance to see Don Frost, he is one of my idols.
I know.
He is a very good comic, funny dude, and just a good guy. And to see him get successful like that, I'm watching all my friends become successful, and it's kind of starting to piss me off.
Isn't it bittersweet? It's bittersweet, though, isn't it?
It really is, because you're like, oh, man, that's my buddy, you know?
I know.
And then I'm like, oh, it's not me. That's not me.
I know. You've probably heard that Funchess is going to be on Bob's Burgers.
And he has a half an hour Comedy Central special.
I know. It's called The Half Hour Show. It's not called Comedy Central Presents anymore, but I know. He's blowing up. He's got Undateable. He's been on Conan again.
He's
fucking.
And it's awesome to see him go, because that guy and I have been through a lot together. So
I know.
To see him make it is cool, but at the same time, it sucks because it's like, what about me?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and
why am I at Denny's? Why am I asking to headline at Denny's?
I can't even imagine what you feel like, because I only met the dude twice and did one show with him, and I'm like, that's my friend, you know, and he lived in your basement, you know, so I can't imagine how much magnified the feelings
to be fair,
that I have.
We lived together in the basement because neither of us could make rent.
Well, you know,
so we kind of had to split rent.
That's what happens.
It wasn't like he lived in my basement.
That's what happens when you're a comic.
Right.
Yep.
Oh God! Especially when you're a comic doing a road tour with a guy who's not quite ready to be a headliner, but was doing it anyway.
yeah.
And Good times.
Yeah, I just did my first casino gig over in Mill City, and the guy that was headlining happened to be a black gentleman, and I don't believe there was one other black gentleman in the whole...
What was his name?
Mark G. I didn't get his last name, but that's just this name. He wanted me to introduce him as Mark G. He just got back from Japan. He said he's been doing a lot of college and club shows, and he was over there entertaining the troops.
Huh, I don't know him.
I don't either.
Was it a good show?
It was a great show. It was packed. The first show was packed, like standing room only. Every table was full, and they were a great receptive audience. The second audience must have been losing money in the something in the casino because they were very non-receptive, and he tried to do some crowd work at the beginning of the...
Not having it.
Like, he asked a dude's name who was obviously from Coos Bay. He was in a flannel shirt, and he looked... You could feel the racist coming off of him.
Oh, yeah.
The guy said, "What's your name, sir?" And the guy goes, "I ain't got a name." Just and then he asked the
Well, then your mom is shitty at her job.
Yeah, exactly.
Your mom needs to be done or taken somewhere. What are you, a fucking Indian? You don't have a name?
Did he just leave it?
You don't have a name.
Just left it blank on the birth certificate, huh? Yeah, really must be a redhead. My name's...
See, that's how I get myself into trouble is when people do stupid shit like that.
Yeah.
I will call audience members on being fucking stupid.
Well.
And the thing is that the audience can, if you're too mean to them, sometimes they'll turn on you.
Yeah.
So I'd be real careful.
I think because the fact that he was black, that he just said, "Okay, moving on to table 17. How are you guys doing over there?" But no,
right.
he was funny, and it was a good time, and it was a great experience. And I hope to do more. But everybody, I'm surprised I didn't know him, and you don't know him either. I don't know where he's from. I couldn't find him on Facebook yet. But all the other people from the rest of the month, you know, was like Lonnie Bruin, Don Frost, Jim Willig, Chris Howard, or not Chris Howard, Chris Warren, and some other guy that I didn't know. But yeah, all the locals still doing
right.
it.
Are you doing their contest this year?
Yeah, I am. They're doing they're doing like six screenings. They're doing them in Grants Pass and Medford and Albany. And some of the Portland comics were kind of bummed that they're not doing a Portland screening, but it's because they approached like 20 venues and no one would hook them up.
Yeah. Well, you know what? They're there to make money, and I'm going to leave my opinion of that particular contest alone.
Yeah.
Because I was a finalist last year and whatever.
Yep.
But I will say that they're in it to make money.
For sure.
And if you're not going to give them an opportunity to make money, they're not going to fucking go with you.
And a lot of the Portland comics are saying that they don't have the time or resources to invest that many trips down here to do the semifinals and then the finals,
right.
and they're all in Eugene, right. you know, so.
Right.
I know a couple of them.
To be honest, they're not that wrong to think that.
That's totally true. If it was in Portland, I would second guess my if the helium contest had like a month of weekends that I'd have to drive to, I don't think I'd do that, you know.
Right.
You know.
And so it's not that they're wrong to think that either. Yeah, so I get it. And
yeah.
I think that
they're trying to expand next year to Northwest to include, because people from Vancouver are complaining a little bit, saying, "I'm right across the river from Portland. I live in Portland. I live in Vancouver for lower rent."
Right.
And so they're going to try to expand it to Northwest next year, I guess. But I know only two people that are confirmed from Portland is Scoot and Iris have said they're coming down.
To do Albany or whatever.
Yeah, right? To do the Albany one. So.
Yeah, I will have you say that when I did the Willamette Valley 20th a couple of years ago, that we had heats in Portland. We even got a theater up in Portland. We got the Baghdad.
I remember that. It was fun.
That was a pretty good competition. The only thing is one of the venues went out of business.
Oh.
And so it cost us like $600. So we wound up, Jesse and I wound up splitting the profit for the event after paying all the comics. Take a stab.
Yeah.
Take a guess.
$48.
$17. We split $17.
Dude, I totally overestimated by like three times.
Yeah, I know. It was, so instead of making $617, we made fucking $17.
Well, you actually made like $8.50 a piece.
Yeah, but we were good on our word. I even said I'd come out of pocket if I had to make sure that the comics got paid, because that was
for sure.
That was the agreement on the event, and that's that was a great event, man, because we had all over the place. Comics got to see an idea of what road gigs were like and shit, and
yeah,
some of the venues wound up being really cool.
It was fun. I enjoyed it. I had a good time.
How far did you get in that competition, Terry?
I got to the second to the last one. The last one was at the Baghdad that I was in, and then I think the other ones were, I don't know. I did Diablos in the Dugout and Baghdad.
Did you do the Independence Room?
I don't think so for the contest, no.
Man, I loved that room. That sucks what happened with that place.
I don't even know what happened besides that they're not doing shows there anymore.
Well, they went out of business.
Oh, bummer. Bummer.
Yeah,
that was a good room. And that's kind of similar now to at the Wetlands in Eugene, where they're having that show tonight, is they have like a back room that
right.
is disconnected by like a hallway from the whole rest of the sports bar. And they have a bar back there and it's all remodeled and it's really nice. And if they let them keep doing that, that'll be pretty cool. But I don't know. Yeah, comedy's blowing up. I guess they said that there was over 60 people that contacted them just from the Eugene area to enter this contest this year.
I can't do the contest anymore.
Why? Because you make too much money doing comedy?
Yeah, I make too much money. To be real, the first year, I think I made too much money anyway, but Todd was in the competition, and if Todd's going to be in the competition, I'm going to be in the competition.
Yeah, for sure.
And so that was... It is what it is. Like, I will say that comedy has been blowing up. I mean, if you look in Salem, the Salem Comics Board, there are 20 active comedians in Salem now.
Yeah.
You know how many there were when I started comedy in Salem?
Probably like five.
Three.
You and Jesse and Ron?
Ron Funches and James O'Neill.
Oh, yeah.
That was it.
Yep. And now, because that people that are doing this contest had another college contest called Quacking Me Up Comedy Competition, there's like a whole troop of... new, young, like 20-year-old stand-up comics from the college.
That's cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
It's cool because Eugene has a couple big kids too. You got Seth Milstein over there.
Yeah.
And Andy Anders when he's around.
Yeah.
So there's some good comics, and you know, I guess if you want to throw Terry into that mix.
And there's some other guys coming up though that are actually getting real funny too that I enjoy, like Mac Chase. And
Mac's getting there. I've seen him a couple times, and I was like, because when I first saw him, I was like, this kid's rough.
Yeah.
But he's getting there. And
McGowan, he's kind of funny. Yeah. He's getting funnier every time.
And I think it takes experience, and they want to be funny. That's the trick, man. That's the game. Is that if you want to be funny, you will be.
And they're submersing themselves in it, you know, and doing it as much as they can. And I know they're like watching as much as you can. And I don't know if you agree with that, but I think if you're trying to learn your game and find your voice, you need to watch a lot of comedy and you need to go to
You know what I did, man? I took it a step further. Check this out. You know, I'm a chess player, right? Like a big dork.
Yeah, for sure. You like chess.
So do you know how to become a better chess player? One of the best ways to become a better chess player?
By watching chess?
Well, sort of. It's to take the grandmaster games, right? The very best players,
right?
And take, like, you set up a position like that. They have like up to, you know, you're 12 moves deep into their game, right?
Right.
And then you take a piece of paper and look and what do you think the next move would be and why, right? And then so you break it down and you take the next move and you look at that and okay, well I think it will be knight to e4 and here's why, right? Or whatever, okay?
And then you wait and see if they do the move that you thought of.
Right. And then you see what they did and why they did that.
And then so you make a mental note of I shouldn't have done what I thought I was going to do.
You break apart how they play, how you play, and then you want to play more like them and you figure out why. And it's how you improve.
Right.
Chess. One of the best ways is to break down grandmaster games. So
that applied to comedy. What did you do? You said you took it a step further.
Yep. So I was going to say, sorry, I'm getting a Facebook message from a girl and it doesn't matter.
You might be able to use that emergency rape kit later.
Yeah, right. Well, I have to fly 3,000 miles to use it.
Well, damn it. Well, cyber sex rape kit, I don't know.
So, and by the way, it's an emergency sex kit, not an emergency rape kit.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry. The last thing I want to do is get another fucking article written about me.
Come on, any exposure is good exposure.
Right.
Okay.
Well, angry feminist mob, which of course meant that they were like, well, we're going to picket and boycott your shows. Do you know how often that happens?
Never. Yeah.
People in Portland like to have a problem without actually having to do anything.
Why did you call me out on stage, Will, you big bully?
Yeah, how dare you? And then what was awesome was that all her people were calling me a bully and all that stuff.
Of
and I'm
course.
Like, I don't think you understand how bullying works. You guys have been shitting on me for the last fucking week.
Yeah.
Look, not the point. The point was about the Grandmaster things.
Okay, go back.
What you do is you take a Grandmaster, someone who is a high-level comedian, like a Bill Hicks or whatever, and I did this with Martin Lawrence first, and I learned a lot about energy and stage presence. Martin Lawrence jokes aren't that good. His stories aren't that good. They're okay, but they aren't great.
It's his delivery,
they're not
right?
They're not knock you out of your chair. He has a lot of stock lines, and you could tell shit that was written for him and whatnot. However, his ability to control an audience and his stage presence he's the shit when it comes to that. And so I understood that, and then you break down Bill Hicks, how the theory of a joke, and you read some books, like Lonnie Bruin. I don't know, did I tell this story last time about how Lonnie Bruin told me to fuck off and it made me a better comic?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay, so there used to be a comedy club in Beaverton called Comedy Club Westside, right?
Right.
And it was there. This was an old school back in the day. This was like 8 years ago or so, seven or eight years ago. Comedy Club Westside, it was a fun little club. They had a good time, but the problem was the venue went out of business, as usually happens with places that do comedy.
You've said that. You've said that phrase at least three times in our conversation. Oh, they went out of business.
Yeah, I know, right? So the venue went out of business, and it was fun, and they had a lot of... Okay, so Lonnie Broom was the booker for MCs, right?
Right.
And him and Joe Fontenot, actually. And so I asked him, I was at Suki's, which quit doing comedy. But anyway, I was at Suki's. When I was at Suki's, I was talking to Lonnie, and I was kind of new. I was probably maybe 6 months in or 8 months in or so. And I was like, hey, man, so what do I have to do to MC at a comedy club Westside? And he goes, I don't normally do business when I'm this drunk. And then he told me, he's like, look, I'll just tell you this. He's all, you're not going to be hosting at Comedy Club Westside anytime soon. And then he said, what you need to do is buy this book called Comedy Writing Secrets and learn how to write comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, fuck you, you little crippled fuck. And every mean thing you could think of is what was going through my mind.
Right.
And so I was like, fuck you, I'm funny, I know I'm funny. And then I watched a tape of myself, and I went, wow, I am not funny. I'm not even kind of funny. I'm like finding a lump not funny. Like,
yeah.
I'm fucking not funny. And so I went, okay, so I went out and bought this book. And this is the book that I recommend to everybody because it always helps. It's a book called Comedy Writing Secrets by Mel Helitzer. Go ahead and write it down. Helitzer, H-E-L-I-T-Z-E-R. Anyway, Mel Helitzer wrote this book, and it was a great book. And it talks a lot about how to write jokes. How to do stand-up comedy, and so that kind of stuff. Not here's how much you should make in the comedy, or here's what Rodney Dangerfield thought, but here's how you write comedy. Here's how it works.
Right.
Here's simple formulas, and here's things that you need to know. Right. So those things. One of the big rules that I live by is a rule called KISS. Keep it simple, stupid. I try to have as few words in my jokes as possible to have the biggest effect when the punch comes around.
Right.
And that's kind of a rule of one of my writing rules, is that I'll take a joke, then I'll try it out on stage and be like, okay, that's about fucking 40 words too long, right? So I'll trim it down until it fits into it doesn't have to be verbatim, obviously, but it fits into where I want it. And that takes time. You got to machine it down and work on jokes and go over and over and over.
Upstairs. Close the door, please.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, close the damn door.
I know.
Anyway, so that's kind of how whenever I deal with people who are learning the game or whatever, I tell them that, but I don't tell them, you know, they're terrible comedians, so they don't need to know that.
They don't need to know that.
Right, you don't need to know that. I'm sure you already think it. Everybody thinks they're a terrible comic, even if they're a good one.
I know, yeah. And if you're a good comic and you tell someone, of course you get the shitty question of, oh, you're a comic? Tell me a joke.
Right.
I hate
it always happens.
And I don't know why that. I hate that. And I don't know why anybody
because
hates it.
It never works. The joke that you drop will never work. So I just, I'm like, dude, it doesn't work like that.
Yep,
and
just
like,
come to a show.
Hey, you know what I tell them now?
What?
All right. Pay your cover and I'll tell you a joke.
Yeah. Yeah. Give me a dollar and I'll tell you one joke.
Hey, pay a fucking cover. You can hear my jokes. Otherwise, my jokes aren't set up right now because you're not in the mood to laugh. Because it's like a challenge. Tell me a joke is like a challenge. And you can choose to not laugh. You can make it, unless the joke is so damn good that they have no defense. Most people have this kind of like shields are up and they're ready to not laugh.
Right.
And so you can't tell me a joke. Fuck you.
That's when you ask them, what do you do for a living, sir? And they're like, oh, I'm a welder. And I was like, oh, well, could you weld some shit for me real quick?
Can I get you to work on this oil tanker for me that I have in dry dock right now? Can you help me with that?
And then I'll criticize your weld. And say that's not even a good weld.
Welding?
Yeah,
you call this welding.
And you make a living doing this, right? Okay, whatever.
Oh my God! Wow. No, you should take some advice on how to weld from me.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, even though I've never studied welding and don't understand how to do it,
you got
I'm going to tell you how to weld.
You got it.
I know better than you.
I know this really funny thing that you should use in your act. Yeah, that's so hilarious. So
I
hilarious.
Hate that.
I know.
Especially because it sucks too when you have a bad set and someone tells you how to. You don't really. You can't say, "Well, fuck you." I would just went out there and killed. You have to just go, "Okay."
That was fun.
That's the worst.
Yeah, yeah.
But it does happen, and And this, by the way, kids, is why getting paid to do comedy is not as grand as it sounds sometimes. For that reason, because it's work.
Yeah.
Doing mics is easy.
Yeah.
Doing work is hard.
Yep, that's right. And sometimes it hurts. And right. You're like, God, I'm glad I at least got some money for that. That was painful.
Do you work for Trouble right now, Terry?
I haven't. No, I've emailed him once, and I'm getting my kit together. I haven't sent him my kit yet because I'm kind of...
Yeah, I was going to say, get your shit together and send him. I'm sure he's kind of hurting for features anyway right now.
Cool. And I'm working my way up, too. I just did, like, 50 minutes last night at Denny's, and I felt so comfortable doing it, and I had a great set, and I don't want to get ahead of myself or anything, but, yeah, I'm ready to start doing the half-hour features for sure.
Yeah, so get up there and do that, and here's the deal, though. I was going to say, his room in Idaho Falls is how you earn money, because it's not a fun room. That room is hard as fuck.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
If you do that room well, you can make anyone laugh.
Yeah.
That room was hard.
I've seen a lot of posts from people that say that room is ouch.
Yeah, it's the worst. I think I'm sure I talked about this last time I was on your podcast. But yeah, I was. And by the way, again, just to clarify, I hate the term podcast.
I know we have now changed it. It's still because we got our website Tagcast Podcast. The show is now officially called the Terry and Gatch Comedy Show. That's what it's called on iTunes, and that's what it's called on Stitcher. But everybody knows it as Tagcast Podcast. But we hate that too. So we're right there with you, buddy.
I'm like, what pod? And everyone's like, well, you downloaded your iPod. No one has a fucking iPod.
I know. I'm listening to it on my. I call it a laptop cast because I listen to it on my laptop.
Yeah, exactly.
No, we just call it the Terry and Gatch Comedy Show. So that's what you were on right now. The Terry and Gatch Comedy Show.
The Terry and Gatch Comedy Show.
Yeah.
Again, the best thing on three legs.
That's right.
That's damn right.
We went for tripod cast at first, but that was already taken. A tripod. Get it?
Tripodcast?
yeah, there was already like two of them. We thought we had something golden right there, and we're like, oh, the tripodcast. And then, no, it's already taken.
Oh, that sucks.
I know. So anyway, yeah, you are on the Terry and Gatch Comedy Show, and you were going to say something. Can't remember.
So where's Gatch? Is he coming down, or where is he?
No, we usually record on Saturday or on Sundays, and I'm just hanging out at my house. My wife's working. The kids are gone. I got all my shit set up here, and I just kind of threw it out on the internet if anyone wanted to come over and do an interview, and lo and behold, here comes Will Woodruff, clear from fucking Pennsylvania, which is awesome.
Pennsylvania?
Yeah,
you're... Am I the farthest interview you've had thus far? I
believe so. Yeah, I did an interview last year from Seattle on the phone with a singer from Metal Church, which I don't know if you're familiar with those guys, but they're like a heavy metal band from the 80s who are kind of back, and they're doing like the metal cruises and stuff like that. And
come on in. Hold on.
Yeah, no problem.
Hang on.
You got company?
The door should be open.
What is it, like room service, dude? You got room service? Well, that's okay that he's answering the door because I'm going to wrap this up here anyway. He can't hear me right now, so that's fucking funny. We could edit this out, but I don't think I'm going to. I'm just going to tell him since he's so busy that we can just... Do you get room service or what?
No, one of the other dealers going to work at 6:30, and I'm like, oh, well, I'm not going to work, but they were looking for my roommate, so...
Dealers going door to door at the fucking hotel over there, huh?
Yep. Living in... Do you have a moment to talk about the poker gods?
That's right. All right, well, since we've got about a half hour under our belt, so I'm going to wrap it up as far as the interview. We don't have to hang up right now, but I'd like to thank you for being on the show, Will. It'll give us a guest and something to do. Something for people to listen to. Maybe I can con some of your friends who might pretend like they miss you into listening so they can hear your lovely voice.
I know, right? I'm a sweetheart.
It's a sad...
Tweeting my butt off, Terry.
Really?
Yeah, I've been tweeting my butt off, and mostly about poker stuff, but there's been some other stuff. But basically, poker players love me. I didn't know this, but I'm a dealer, so like they kind of put up with me.
Right.
But I've had some. So there's this guy I was hanging out with. He was a final tablist at the World Series of Poker in like 2007 or so.
Right.
And he had a really memorable hand where he laid down pocket queens against pocket jacks.
Oh.
And so everyone kind of gives him shit about it. But to be honest. To be honest, again, if you analyze that hand, most hands had him beat. He only had like one or two hands beat. He happened to fold, which was the right move, but people still give him shit about it anyway. But I was talking to this guy named Lee. Anyway, he was like, I referred to him as a ball of poker wisdom, and then he was like, "Is that a fat joke or whatever?" And I was like, "No, it's not a fat joke. Or I would have referred to you as a butterball of wisdom." But yeah, there's been a lot of fun Twitter stuff going on, and you can follow me on Twitter by Will Woodruff, one word.
That's right,
at Will Woodruff on Twitter, and I also mentioned the TEDcast.
Awesome.
Right, and all 8 of your followers. What the fuck, Terry? Get your shit together, by the way.
I don't run that. It's Gatch, and he's been lazy lately. I've been actually pretty active on Twitter just as myself, Terry Guile. I just got followed by Tom Green, and he retweeted one of my tweets. Tom Green.
Really?
Yeah. But he's pretty personal. He's pretty personal because he's got that show on Access TV now.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's okay. It's just a show on TV that I watch, and so like when people tweet in, he usually answers to them.
My favorite Green is Hank Green and John Green, the Vlog Brothers. Holy shit!
The Log Brothers.
If you want to get smarter, follow those guys at Vlog Brothers on Twitter.
Okay.
But they're fucking unreal. They come, it's like all. It's always very like intelligent stuff on like worldview stuff, political view stuff, nerdy kind of stuff, which I'm a huge fan of. But they just go, because they live in separate spots, so they message each other with these, hey, here's what I think about this. And it's like a 4-minute, really intelligent piece of data that goes back and forth, and they always talk about stuff, and they go back and forth. And then they kind of let the world in on their personal communications. But it's really fucking clever, and they're really cool. John Green is the guy pushing for the removal of the penny from circulation because we don't need it anymore.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
He has a great argument, and even President Obama was like, "Yeah, it's a good idea." So it's kind of cool to see those guys. So
I'll check them out.
They'll ever hear this or anything, but if you get a chance,
you never know. If I follow them on Twitter and then fucking tag them in a post, they might check it out. You never know.
Or you're like the Battle of the Greens, John Green versus Tom Green versus Hank Green. So
yeah.
Comes out on top of that.
Yeah.
Because, someone's going to be fucking at Moose in that. And
right on. Well, I'm going to get off of here and let you go. I appreciate you being on the show. You got anybody you want to shout out to that might be listening, or someone I can tag that you like, one of your friends or something from Oregon?
It's like Follow Friday. Hang on. Ron Funches, good work. You can follow Ron at Ron Funches. Let's see here. Who else? The Roommates, the show we've been working on. I've been writing more episodes for that. And we still haven't even had a sit down, even though I have like a couple episodes written. But one of my favorite lines, there's a couple lines that we were working on, and one of them is we get stuck in Montana. And Amanda's like, "I get a bed to myself because I'm not sleeping with any of you guys." And I turn to the camera. I'm like, "Yeah, because none of us are famous."
So where is this going to be available, this Roommates thing?
It's going to be online. It's going to be an online web series that we've been working on for some time. And there are a lot of really it's kind of almost like a live action, kind of like a Family Guy where it has cutscenes and stuff like that. But it's all based in the life of a bunch of comedians and a magician because we all live in the same spot. So we've been like working on the series over and over and over, and we've been, the first episode is pretty well written and pretty, whatever. And so I've been kind of cranking them out, and then everyone in the house gets to trim them down, and then we kind of put them out. But there's a lot of humor to be had because it's just funny stuff.
Awesome.
And so, yeah. Anyway, so you see that come out. That's at Comedy Roommates, I believe. You can look that one up too.
So are there any episodes of that out yet, or you guys are just working on it?
No, I haven't been recorded yet because, I'll be honest, because it's being produced by a bunch of comedians, which means everybody's fucking lazy.
Yeah.
So by the time I left, we still didn't have our first episode done. But we have been talking about it, and it's like there's a bunch of comedians in there that you should be following anyway, like Amanda Arnold and Andy Shaw.
I'm probably following most of those people.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying you. I'm saying you're valuable listeners.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, as I say, those pipples are good pipples. And I think, and you should also follow, if you're gonna give some love, Christine Levine and Nathan Brannon.
Oh, for sure.
Nathan Brannon's wife put out, "I'm married to the greatest guy of all time, and he's a great human being," or whatever. And then I was like, "Nathan, stop hijacking your wife's account."
She must have left her Facebook open.
His wife left her Facebook
exactly.
Open.
Have you got a chance to listen to Levine Large, the Christine Levine podcast?
I haven't because I just have my phone, and the internet here sucks.
That's a bummer.
So it's like, it's really, really rough. But it's funny because her kids reminded me of me, like, a lot. And so she needs to really, really get that out of them or they're going to be like me. And that's...
Dude, and I hate to say it because Christina's hilarious, but her kids are almost funnier than her sometimes.
Christina's...
Just the energy that they get together and the bounce things off of each other. Josh is hilarious. And, I've listened to every episode of that. So if anybody out there is listening and haven't checked out Levine Large, you should check that out, too. So thanks for bringing that up.
All right. Good times. Well, is that it?
Are we done? That's it. I got to get out of here. And when you get back in town, though, definitely hit me up and we will set up.
I so want to do a Denny's. Like I said, I kind of left you hanging. But
I don't mind. I know you got to do what you got to do. And I also I'd like to do some shows with you when you get back, like maybe some Eugene shows or some Salem shows or something.
Yeah.
Let's hook something up.
Time. Actually, there's a couple spots in Albany I've been looking up for a show other than... on the other side of town from that Denny's.
So. Yeah, there's a place called Riley's where they're having the thing, and they've had, I think Chris Warren did a show there once, and Alex has done a show there. So I know they're receptive to it, but it just doesn't happen very often, and we just got to make it happen.
Well, it's kind of a weird setup. It's not really that well set up for comedy either because they have like a second level and shit.
Yeah, and there's like tables up there. It is. It's kind of weird. Yeah. But, we could make it work. We'll make it work.
That's right.
All right, dude. Well, thanks for your time, and it was good chatting with you, and I hope to see you soon. Get a hold of me when you're back in in Oregon.
I'll talk to you guys. I will talk to you when I get back.
All right.
And you know the drill.
That's right. Will Woodruff, everybody. Thank you. Later. And we're back. That was the great interview with Will Woodruff, and I hope you guys are still listening because it was kind of long. But he had a lot to say.
That's what he said.
I went to the... I know. I couldn't believe he said that. But no, I actually went to the door because someone came to the door at my house, and I just took my headphones off, and he was well into a good talk, and I knew he was going to keep talking. So I just took my headphones off, set the phone down, went to the door, came back. And then
how far back were you standing?
From the door?
Yeah, when you came to the door.
Dude, that's about 40 feet.
Damn.
I've been working on it. I noticed that if you squeeze real hard when you feel it coming and then just kind of push it out.
Dude, that reminds me.
I bet.
Because I can't not go on a tangent.
I can't believe that he answered the phone from the motel there saying Homosexuals Anonymous. I thought I had pushed the wrong speed dial.
Uh-oh.
Because wait, what?
I watched Mythbusters, the new one. I don't regularly watch that show, but I happened to catch it because nothing else was on.
Some of them are okay.
But yeah, for sure. I'm not putting it down. I'm just saying that I rarely watch it. But this one I happened to watch was they had a ping pong ball rocket to see if ping pong balls could fatally kill someone.
Oh, yeah?
Dude, they hooked up this thing, they vacuumed all the air out of it. They got the fucking ping pong ball going out the end of this fucking PVC or this acrylic tube at fucking like 1,200 miles an hour, dude. Going faster than a fucking jet.
Is it enough to kill somebody?
Dude, it broke apart in flight. But when they put it against the pigskin, dude, it actually went and kind of... It like cut a circular hole right into the fucking flesh. And like a big old air pocket kind of separated the skin underneath it.
Ooh.
It was fucking gnarly, dude, but it pretty much obliterates the ball. It just shreds it going that fast.
So it wouldn't hurt you as much as it would hurt the ball. What if you shot...
Well, I mean, it would be a pretty serious skin injury, man. Could you imagine like air... Like, it would be an embolism, basically.
What if you had your pants on, you got shot like in the butthole? Like...
Yeah, I don't know, dude. I don't know
you
want to
try
that
when we get off... Once we get off and come across
They put one of those regular ping pong paddles right in front of it, right in front of the thing,
and
set it off, and it went through it, dude. It put a hole in the fucking paddle.
Damn. So that's wood and plastic.
Wow.
That would fucking probably hurt pretty bad.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It put a hole straight through it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. It was like a 30-foot long tube. And then they sucked all the air out of and then popped the end, so all the air pushed it out.
Zip it up!
Yep.
Flames is zipping up his coat. Hey, I want to mention real quick, I'm not going to play the song, but there's a couple people that we talk about on the show, and we've talked about both of these guys at some point on the show here, so I'm going to mention their birthdays. Today's birthdays include Dean Stockwell, who is not dead, and it was him that was on Blue...
Blue Velvet
that we were talking about last week. And any guesses on how old
emphasis on the old. How old Dean Stockwell is today?
71.
Oh, you
71.
Guys, you guys both undershot it. He's 78. I told you old was the fucking key word there. And then quite a bit younger, but still hard as fucking nails, Tone Loc.
The 40, rapper. Gotta 49.
Yo, dog.
He's still getting loaked after dark, dude.
He's getting loaked after dark. Do you know what he was before he was a rapper?
A cracker?
He was.
No, he's always been a blacker. He's always been blacker than a cracker. He was a professional football player. Tony Loc. No, it's Tony something. Tony Smith or Tony Williams or.
Yeah, I think it's like Tony Smith.
So you guessed what did you guess?
Dude, he was nothing.
You said 40
to Young MC, dude. Young MC was
49.
Yeah, ooh, what do you got for a guess?
What for
Tone
Loc? Let's see. Well, his music, you know.
Remember, he was in Ace Ventura.
That was probably about what 90.
91. He was in Ace Ventura.
Two. Probably when that album came out, right?
91.
89. 88. Somewhere around there.
Oh yeah.
He was in Ace Ventura in like 92.
Right, so
you do real educated. Flames just shoots him out like a wad of cum.
50.
All right, he said 49. You said 50. This time you both overshot the door by barely any. 48 he is today, just the 2 years older.
Oh
than
wow,
me.
Man!
And that's I all my birthdays for the year, for the day. But hey, since we did that motherfucking thing, we might as well wrap up and go eat some pizza.
Dude, I'm hungry.
I know. So we already talked about them, but we love them, so we'll talk about them again. Pizza now. We're going to go eat some meat.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Tone Loc.
No. I'm going to Tone Loc some fucking pizza now. I did love that, though, dude. I have to be honest.
Which one? Funky Cole Medina?
It had that on it, yeah, but it also had...
Oh, that album? I bought that album.
It had Chiba Chiba on it.
Yep.
Chiba. Keep it, keep it.
You got it. I want to find that song and listen to it at some point.
Yeah.
But, oh, yes. This is going to be our outro music for today. I've been watching a lot of Trailer Park Boys. If you guys are interested in seeing the new season and the new new season, go to swearnet.com. Yeah. It costs $4.20 a month. I haven't paid my dues yet, but I'm just waiting until the season's come out because I'm not going to pay for just some little bonus content.
Yep.
But anyway, you guys, it's been a great Monday. We thank you for listening. Thanks to Flames for being on the show.
Yeah.
Wednesday will be our most satanic show ever. We hope that you guys will tune in for that. It's a hump day, Satan worshiping day. This music makes me want to take bong hits. Rise, you got anything to say, anybody, while we get out of here?
Yeah, Tone Loc, dude, has been hospitalized 4 times for collapsing in concert since 2009.
I heard that, dog.
I finished my grade 10.
You did? You got your grade 10. Congratulations to Flames for getting his grade 10.
89, January 23rd, Loc at After Dark.
I knew it was 89. I win. I win again. I always his win,
second,
brother.
His second album, 1991, what was it called?
I lost... my fan base.
Cool Hand Loc.
Oh, Cool Hand Loc.
What we have here is a failure to sell records. Hey, thanks for listening. We'll see you guys on Hump Day.
Right on.
Later. Hey, all you taggots. What's going on out there? I'm going to give you what to do. Got a lot of shows coming up. It's going to be good. You guys are going to have fun if you go do this stuff. I guarantee it. Got a lot of open mics for comedy going on in the area. Every other Monday, it's Donk Gong Comedy at Taylor's, 13th and Kincaid in Eugene. Starts at 9 o'clock, and it's free. They got drink specials all night. They spin a wheel and change the special every hour. Wednesdays at the Tiny Tavern, 4th and Blair with Mac Chase. That starts at 9:30. The sign-ups and the show's at 10 o'clock. And Thursdays at the Green Room, 710 Willamette, right next to Doc's Pad. That's every Thursday, open mic comedy, 8 o'clock. And at the Kush Cafe at 1235 Railroad Boulevard in Eugene, 9:30 sign-ups, 10 o'clock. It's a free open mic comedy show there at the Kush Cafe. Got some shows coming up in the form of comedy. Like I said, March 6th, it's the Oregon's Last Comedian Standing at the City inside Kowloon's Restaurant at 2222 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Eugene. 8 o'clock, 21 and over, $5 at the door. Rock On. March 7th, also OLCS at Riley's Bar and Grill, 124 Broad Albany in Albany, 8 p.m., 21 and over, $5 at the door. I'll be at both of those, so come down and laugh at me. March 27th, Aziz Ansari at the Holt Center. That'll probably be expensive, but it'll be funny. So go check that out if you're into it. The next night, Friday, March 28th, it's the Grand Slam Comedy Show, the fifth installment. Rolling right along there at Denny's in Albany at 3435 Spicer Drive, right off I-5, exit 233. April 21st, it's Doug Benson's fourth annual 420 show. Always a day late with that guy. It's at the Wow Hall in Eugene, 8th and Lincoln. Shows are on, or the tickets are on sale for the show online. Go to thewowhall.com or something. You'll probably find out about it. All right, here's some regular rock and roll and music, punk rock, metal shows. March 17th, it's The Sword and Big Business with another band, Oh Brother, at the Hawthorne Theater. Tickets are $20 and $25. At the Tonic Lounge, March 28th, it's DOA, the punk rock legends, on their farewell tour with MDC opening the show. Tonic Lounge, March 28th. March 30th, it's Carcass, Black Dahlia, Murder, Gore Guts, and Noisem at the Hawthorne Theater for the Decibel Magazine Carcass Tour. I don't know what it's called. Decibel Metal Tour? I don't know. It's going to be a loud show. It's going to be a good show. Go check that out. Tickets are $25 in advance, $20 at the door. May 3rd, it's Nile with Seasons of Suffering and World of Lies at Hawthorne Theater. $13.50, the cheap ticket for a great show. That's in advance. $15 at the door for your favorite Egyptian-themed southern metal band, death metal. April 3rd at the Tonic Lounge, it's Destruction, the German metal stalwarts that they are, with Brazilian thrashers Chrissian open the show, Widow and Ex Mortis, also a classic metal band. That's all at the Tonic Lounge April 3rd. Also there, two other great shows coming up. April 3rd, it's Shadow of the Torturer with Bellwitch and Hell, another band I don't want to try to pronounce, but I bet they're good. That's April 11th at Tonic Lounge. This is at 3100 Sandy Boulevard in Portland, all these Tonic Lounge shows. You can get tickets online by searching Tonic Lounge, or just go there at the door. Most of them don't sell out. This one may or may not. 80s weird rock legends Missing Persons, featuring members from the band in the background. April 17th, Missing Persons at the Tonic Lounge. Also coming up on later on in the summer, it's Motley Crue's final concert in Oregon ever. It's actually in Washington, in Vancouver, right across the bridge from Portland. Alice Cooper will be opening the show. That's at Sleep Country Amphitheater. So there's lots of stuff to go do. Go do it. Come out to Riley's on Friday in Albany here and help me win that contest. All right. Thanks for listening, guys. Go back to tagcastpodcast.com now.